We live in an age of marketing. Everyone's marketing. And no matter where you go, everything is a, I don't know, just me maybe, everything's a bit of an oversell. Everything's oversold wherever you go. It seems like everyone is offering an experience. I took my car for a service at, you know, one of those big places with the free coffee. And I drove away, and for weeks afterwards, I got emails, phone calls, text messages. How was your experience with us? And that's it. And if you stop and think about it, I didn't want an experience. I just wanted my car fixed. I wasn't looking for a relationship. I didn't want to get deeply involved. I'm married. I just wanted you to fix my car. You know, it's a bit of an oversell. No one texted me and said, are the brakes okay? No, it's how was your experience with us? It's a bit of an oversell. Or if you go to a bank, you know, you get these banking marketing that says experience different. Whereas they're just going to take your money like every other bank, you know, and leave you very little. You know, it's oversell, isn't it? Or it just goes on and on. For example, you try and buy a house, and it's no longer about the pavement and the bricks and the chimney and the 26 bedrooms or whatever it is. It's experience the freedom of your own home. Really? It's just about a house. It's an oversell. Everyone's experienced this, experienced that. Now, do you think Christianity has got an experience to offer you? Or is that an oversell? If I say to you, have you experienced Christianity? Really? Am I overselling it? Is it just a head knowledge? Is it a set of truths, dogma? Or is there no experience on offer? And if there is an experience on offer, here's a question for you. Have you experienced it? Have you? How was your experience of Christianity? I want to tell you this morning, there is an experience on offer in Christianity. In fact, I'm going to be even narrower than that. There is only, hear this, one authentic Christian experience. Because I'm not talking about emotions. Emotions, there's a range. All of us will feel differently. Christianity will make you grumpy. Christianity will make you sad. Christianity will make you happy. Christianity will fill you with joy. It's a range of human emotions. You can experience all of them in Christianity. So I'm not talking about your feelings. I'm talking about an experience. And I'm suggesting to you there is only one authentic Christian experience, which, if you haven't experienced, you're not a Christian. That's how. Whoa, Dwayne, wait, I'm going to show you. Let me just cut to the chase. Here's what it is. Are you ready? The Christian experience on offer today, the Christian experience is this: to have a personal encounter with the Trinity. That's authentic Christianity and nothing less. So I'm going to say it a couple of ways. The Christian experience is to get caught up or swept up into the three-personed God. Let me put it another way. Christianity is to share in, to partake in the inter-Trinitarian relationship of love within God Himself. Christianity is to profoundly experience God, who is three in one. Do you know when Christianity happens to you? Christianity happens to you when God, the three-personed one being, invites you in, get this, in to Himself. And you participate in Him. That is an authentic Christian experience. That's what Christianity is. We're trying to buy a building. We're in the middle of a building campaign. And the building, which you know, is Churchlands down there. I suspect that if we buy that building, we're going to have lots of visitors. In fact, I know we will. We'll have lots of visitors coming to check us out. Here's the question. What do we want them to experience? Like when I took my car, what do we want them to experience if they visit us? And I know what it is. We want them to experience the Trinity. That's what we want. We could put our name up there, North Coast Church, and there'll be a little line underneath, experience the Trinity here. That's authentic Christian experience. And we're going to spend 3 weeks on this topic. And I know today might be hard for you, but come with on the journey. We're going to work it out slowly together. Here's how we're going to do it. See this passage in front of you? We're going to look at the same passage for 3 weeks. Today, we're just going to look at the first three verses. Why this passage? I want to warn you all, this isn't a topical sermon. If I was going to talk on the Trinity, I'd go over the whole Bible and pick verses from everywhere, and there's a place for that. But I'm not going to do that. We're going to confine ourselves, although we will obviously look at other verses, to this passage. And it's not just exposition for those of you who are very geeky and love method. We're not just going to come to this passage and say, what is this passage saying? Because that's exposition. We're going to come to this passage with a question. What does this passage show me about three in one, about the Trinity? That's our method. And here's what I'm hoping for all of you, because I'm introducing the whole series right now. I hope at the end of these 3 weeks, you will understand the Trinity better. But that's only halfway. I hope you will experience Him more. And I even hope that some of you will experience Him for the first time. That will make me very happy. Because that's what Christianity is. Let me show you what's on offer. Look quickly, verse 4 and 5. Just halfway through. Grace to you and peace. That's what's on offer. We're selling grace and peace. But who does it come from? Look at what it says there. Grace and peace from Him who is, who was, and who is to come. But not alone. It's also from the seven spirits who are before His throne. Ooh. And it's also from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth. Here's the thing. Grace and peace comes from experiencing the Trinity, the three-personed God. It's right there for you. I hope that will happen to you. So here's today. Look at today. I'll put it up because we're going to think so hard. What we're going to see today, just the first three verses, is that God reveals the Trinity in the gospel of Jesus Christ through the written words of the apostles for our blessing. And I'm just realizing verse 1, 2, and 3 is going to be so brain switching on. You thought trig was difficult. This is hard. But number 4 is where it'll grab your heart and show you the experience that's on offer. So come with me. It's hard, I know. I think we should preach on the Trinity once a year as a church, because this is the beauty of our God. Let me show it to you. Number 1, God reveals the Trinity. That's the first thing we're going to see. And look at that word. God reveals the Trinity. What is that? What is that word, Trinity? Well, it's a made-up word. You know, it was made up by a lawyer. His name was Tertullian. He lived in the early, mid 200s. You know lawyers, they're always making up words. Well, he made that word up, Trinity. And it comes from his language, with Latin. He wrote Trinitas. And what it means is it's a triad or a threefold. It refers to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But it means more than that. And I'm going to put it up here for you. And here it comes. Are you ready for this? This is the doctrine. This is the teaching. This is the truth. This is the reality. I'm going to put this slide up every week for the next 3 weeks. Are you ready? This is what Trinity means. There is only one God who is one being. Number 2, God is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Number three, each of those three persons is fully God. They're not a third. It's not a third and a third and a third. Each of those three is by themselves fully God. Number four, but there's only one God. Now you look at that and we're on to about 1.3 million questions, don't you think? Well, I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to show it to you. Let's work through it. Number one, here's what we're going to see. God reveals the Trinity. Just go back there a second there, Stuart. Look at this thing. Who made that up? I mean, what kind of person? Did he bump his head? Who came up with that idea? And that's our first point. Thanks, Stuart. It is God who revealed that to us. God reveals the Trinity. Look verse 1. We're only going to look at three verses. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to Jesus, to him, to show his servants. Did you see it? It is God who reveals the Trinity. It is God who reveals Jesus Christ. God gave it. The revelation comes from him. He gave it to Jesus to give to his servants. To give to us. Now there's a truth here. Only God can reveal Jesus Christ. That's the truth. And the principle is this. Only God can reveal God to us. Only God can reveal God to us. If you want a true revelation of God, you're going to have to go not to Coles. You're going to have to go to God. Only he can reveal himself to you. And that means that whatever he reveals, you'll have to take. Because you can't make him up. You're dependent on him for revelation. You can't come to God with preconceived ideas. You can't come to God and say, tell me about yourself, provided it fits in with this frame. You can't do that. You can't have preconceived ideas. If God should say to you, I am three in one, you can't say, oh, you can't do that because I don't understand that. You can't make God fit in with the parameters of your thinking. You've got to say, only you can reveal yourself to me, so I'll have to take whatever you say. Get it? Now, if you think I'm making a big deal of this, I want to show you that this is not just true of God, it's true of us. Only persons can reveal themselves to other persons. It's normal in our world. Let me help you. So do you want to know my father, my dad? Yeah, you probably do, like, where did this guy come from? But anyway, moving on. Let's say you want to know my father. There's a problem. None of you have seen him. But that's like God. We've got a problem. No one has ever seen God. So how are you going to know my father if you've never seen him? Or how much less are you going to know God? You've never seen him too. Problem. Ah. But what could happen is my dad could send you a picture. A little WhatsApp or SMS. He has a picture of me. Awesome. Can't do that with God. Because God from the beginning said you're not allowed to make a picture of me. No pictures. Okay? No pictures. Oh, problem. So I can't even know God that way. Okay. You want to know my dad? I guess what you could do is you could ask Naomi, because she's met him. So you talk to Naomi. But Naomi doesn't have a great understanding of my dad. She can actually tell you quite a bit. But she didn't know him for decades until she met me. And even then, she hasn't now seen him for about 4.5 years. And besides that, when she did meet my dad, she couldn't go into his head and she couldn't go into his heart. So Naomi, you got a problem. She can tell you a bit, not a lot. Well, maybe you could look at me. I'm my dad's son. So you could look at me and think about my dad. Well, okay, so Dwayne's dad's obviously got huge guns and he's well built and good looking, you know. You could think that. How wrong you would be, because my dad's got lots of hair. He hasn't lost a hair yet. So I'm not a good representation. So that's a problem. Maybe you could ask scientists, because they're very clever. They know everything about everything, don't they? So you could go to a scientist. You say, tell me about Dwayne's dad. Oh, I could tell you heaps. You know, carbon, oxygen, nitrogen, hydrogen, calcium, dash of sulfur, lots of corpuscles and other long words. And, you know, that's Dwayne's dad, you know. You won't know my dad, yeah. Would you? You still don't know him. You've got a problem. What you could do, okay, Dwayne's dad, I'll just make him up in my own image. So he's got to have two nostrils and two legs and two arms. You can make him up in your own mind. That's because he's a little bit like you. But you still won't know him. Now, I'm not talking about God. Have you heard for the last 5 minutes? I've been talking about my dad. He's a person like you. And you can't even know him. Unless he got on an airplane, came here and sat there in the flesh. Then you would get to know my pops. Now, how much more God? Unless God reveals himself, you've got no access. More. He needs to come in the flesh. Then you can get to know him. The Bible says God has done that. God has revealed himself. What exactly has he revealed? Well, verse 1 tells us. Look at it. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave. God, and that's our second point, God reveals the Trinity in the gospel of Jesus Christ. God reveals Jesus, and Jesus reveals God. Get it? Jesus is a perfect revelation of God, which God gave to us. Look at this, John 1 verse 18. No one has ever seen God. We got a problem. But the only God who's at the Father's side has made him known. Do you see it? The Father and the Son perfectly reveal each other. Look at how Jesus puts it. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son. And anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Jesus perfectly reveals the Father. The Father perfectly reveals the Son. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, I know there must be three. You're dealing with two. We'll get there. Hold on. Here's the point. Who is Jesus? If the Father perfectly reveals the Son, and the Son perfectly reveals the Father, tell me, who's Jesus? Well, it must be that he's God. And that's what the Bible says. So look at this. Here's Hebrews 1. And he's talking about how Jesus reveals the Father. Look what it says. He, talking about Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. What this is saying is that Jesus is an exact, perfect, identical revelation of God. So who does that make Jesus? Well, the verses carry on. Look at what it says a few verses later. But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God. See, the writer understands that if Jesus is the radiance of the unseen God, if he's a perfect revelation of the glorious Father whom we've never seen, it must be because he is God. So, God, thanks to it, God reveals the Trinity in the gospel of Jesus Christ. But how does it work? Dwayne, how does that work? Now here's where we start getting closer to experience. Are you ready? These are not things you just learn like you did at school. Do you remember what you learned at school? Because I don't remember a thing. Do you remember those things called cotan and sine? And cos, do you remember those things which I never to this day understood what they were about? But what happened was when the teacher started spouting Greek, and I learned stuff. Well, I didn't, but I did, but I didn't experience anything other than boredom. Now, I want to show you. When you learn the Trinity, you're not sitting in a classroom. It's an experience. I'm going to show you. And what I've got here is authentic Christian experience, and I've got a diagram for you, which isn't mine. I stole it from someone. We're going to, now, Stuart, don't go ahead until I say, now, watch. This is how it works. It begins with, I am saved by Jesus. That's all I know. That's all I know. What happens is I meet Jesus. And I'm overwhelmed by this man. I never heard anything like it. This Jesus blows my mind. I'm overwhelmed by his love for me. He forgives all my sin. He cleanses me. Something happens to me. I know that I'm clean. I know that I'm loved. It's an experience. I meet Jesus. He saves me. Problem is, I start thinking, but wait a minute. How does he save me? And that's the next thing, Stuart. You're going to see this is going to get bigger. He saves me, but now I start thinking, how did Jesus save me? Was it just a nice idea? No, no, no. He did something. On the cross. I start seeing that Jesus died on the cross for me. His death completely satisfies God's judgment. In fact, not just for me, but for the whole world. And I learned that 3 days later, he rose from the dead. Phenomenal. He came alive. He starts the brand new creation. More, he comes alive again and then he ascends into heaven. And in heaven, he pours out his Holy Spirit, which comes to live in me. More, he intercedes for me every day. Jesus is on my side. He's my high priest, ongoing, praying for me, interceding for me. Wow! All of this is how Jesus saves me, and I'm blown away. But I start to think, hold on. I'm saved by Jesus. That's how he saved me. But then, who is he? Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus that he did that for me? It's getting bigger. It's getting bigger. And what I suddenly realize is, who is Jesus if he died for me? Okay, so he's got to be a man because only men can die, right? So I know he's a man because he died. You can't crucify spirits. Jesus was a man. But if he was just a man, the cross wouldn't work. That's like the life of O'Brien. Poor sucker. I mean, if he's just a man, why did God let him die in my place? That's not fair. That's horrible. What an ugly thing to happen. If he was an angel, what's the point of that? Poor angel, you know, getting crucified for my sake. It doesn't work. It only works if he is God. And then I'm blown away. But wait, I start gradually realizing there's more to Jesus than I thought. Can you see what I'm doing for you? It's an experience that you go through. I love watching, if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I love, because I'm arrogant, to laugh at the disciples at how slow they are to learn. You read, and in the beginning, they meet Jesus on the beach. And Jesus says, follow me. And you realize they think he's just a very influential guy. I'm going to follow this guy, see where this goes. You know, they don't know much about him. Then Jesus starts teaching. And they're like, wowza, this guy can speak. This is a great, they call him rabbi. They call him teacher. This guy's clever, man. Whoa, this guy can speak. Brilliant speaker. But then Jesus starts doing crazy stuff. In fact, he does the same things as Elisha and Elijah in the same place. And they start saying, wait a minute, who is this? This is not just a teacher. This is a prophet. Whoa, you're a great prophet. But then they go on a little boat trip on across a lake. There's a storm. Jesus calms the storm. Ain't no prophet done that. And they start going, who is this? But they never get an answer until Jesus dies and rises again. And what happens? Suddenly, they're all worshiping him. Suddenly, they're all saying, my Lord and my God. Now, that's what happens to us. Now, just wait. Who's Jesus if he died for you? But he must be God. But now I've got a problem. If Jesus is God, what does this say about God? And that's the last thing. What does this say about God? It means Jesus completely expands my understanding of God. Jesus blows apart my view of God. And what I suddenly realize, there's two gods. No. That God, who is one, is at least two persons. Do you see the experience that you go through when you meet Jesus and you really get saved? Your understanding of God grows. To be saved is to encounter the Trinity. But there's more. Because where does this happen? Where does this happen? That's our third thing. God reveals the Trinity in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is the last intellectual thing. Don't stay with me. Through the written words of the apostles. Look again with me at verse 1 to 3. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. Blessed are those who are not thinking about lunch, but who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. So look at it again. Here you have someone bearing witness. And the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and the words of this prophecy are all one thing. They're all saying the same thing. They are the gospel of Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation tells us this. Have a look at Revelation 19. He said to me, these are the true words of God. Then I fell down at his feet to worship him. You know, you want to worship someone who's got the true words of God. But he said, don't do that. You mustn't do that. You can only worship God. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. So these are the true words of God. And this is the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So the spirit of prophecy and the testimony of Jesus and the words of God are all one thing. They are the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so back to verse 1, 2, and 3. What John does is he writes it down for us. Verse 3, blessed are the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written, for the time is near. Whew. Let me try and, this is going to be the most bizarre illustration you have ever heard. Because, I mean, what can illustrate this? But I'll try. So you want to know my dad. So what he does is he calls people in Perth and he talks to them. I am, well, I don't know how tall my dad is, but whatever. I'm 6 foot, okay? And I love chocolate. That is true about my dad. I eat it all day, every day. I like, and he calls people in Perth and they write it down over centuries. And you keep reading those letters. That's the Old Testament. You're getting a closer and closer picture. Now, here's where it gets really weird, okay? Imagine those letters suddenly turn into flesh. No, they actually turn into my dad. The word becomes flesh. But you're not there. Other people are there. And they hang around with this flesh letter, but it's real, and it eats chocolate. And they describe it for you, and they write it down for you. Then you come, Johnny come lately, 2018, and you read what they wrote. That's Christianity. That's how it works. Let me show it to you. And John describes it for us himself. Look at what John says. John says this in his letter, 1 John. That which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, touched with our hands. Can you all see? It's not just an idea. This is an experience. He experienced it. And I've touched it with my hands. Concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest. We've seen it. We testify to it. We proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we've seen and heard, we proclaim to you. Why? Look at this. So that you too may have fellowship with us. I want you to experience what I've experienced. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. It's a Trinitarian experience. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Dwayne, I'm only seeing two. I'm just hearing about the Father and the Son. Thanks, Stuart. I'm hearing about the Father and the Son. God reveals the Trinity in the Gospel of Jesus Christ through the written words of the apostles. Am I missing somebody? Where's the Holy Spirit? Where's the Spirit? Should we dim the lights and sing some more? When does He come? Look at verse 1 to 3. Where is the Holy Spirit? Who can see Him? Where is the Holy Spirit in verse 1 to 3? Where? Everywhere. Those words are the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who speaks the words of God. The words that are in front of you are Spirit and truth. The Holy Spirit's all over it. Let me let Jesus explain it to you. Look what Jesus says. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I've spoken to you are Spirit and life. Later on in John 15, He says, but when the Helper comes, who I'll send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, look, what will He do? He'll do what He's doing here. He'll bear witness about Jesus. He'll teach you about, that's what the Holy Spirit does. These are His words. That's why later on Peter says this. Knowing this, first of all, no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. No prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Dwayne, show me the Holy Spirit. Okay, I will. Here He is. It is the Spirit that speaks these words as they testify to Jesus as they are given to us from the Father. Here's what we're saying. God reveals the Trinity in the Gospel of Jesus Christ through the written words of the apostles. Let me try and summarize it in this little phrase for you. The Bible is the Father's portrait of His Son, painted by the Holy Spirit. Where's the experience? Oh, my head. Oh, I came to church today. I knew I should have had a spare coffee on standby. Where's the experience? Let me help you. Look at the last line there, verse 3. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. Blessed are those who hear and keep what is written in it, for the time is here, near, at hand. Same thing. Here's the last point. For our blessing. For our blessing. And here's where I'm going to bring it all together and try and end with experience. Listen. To see Jesus. To really see Jesus, as the Father sees Jesus, is to be blessed out of your socks. That's authentic Christian experience. I'm going to explain this. Let me ask you a question. Have you seen something in your life? Have you seen something so utterly extraordinary, something so delightful, you have to share it with others. Has that ever happened to you? Go to the back of our church with all those daddies and their little babies. You'll see it. There's no daddy who has their little baby, and there she is a couple of hours old, who takes that little baby and goes, oh, wonderful, I don't want you to see it. It's so beautiful. There's no daddy who does. When that daddy looks at that little thing, first of all, he thinks he's the only daddy who's ever had a child before, but moving on from that, what he does is he takes that child, and the next thing, it's on WhatsApp, and it's on email, and it's on Bookface, and it's on ChapSnat, and it's on Twitter, and it's everywhere. He wants the whole world to stop and look at his newborn baby. It's on his car keys. You know, it's there. It's on the front of his phone. He's got a new tattoo. He's going to his house. There she is at different stages every 3 minutes. He wants the whole world to see what he can see. Why? It's not the first one. I've also had kids. Why? Because when you see something extraordinary, your delight in it grows when you share it with other people. It grows. You don't walk out of your Perth house, look at an extraordinary sunset where it's blazing orange, and look at the kids and go, no, don't come outside. You say, come look here. Why? What are they gaming? They don't. Because you want to share it. When you see something extraordinary, you want to share it because delight is increased thereby. Now, what does the Father look at that takes his breath away? What does the Father stare at for all eternity that gets everything inside of him filled with joy? What is he looking at? He's looking at his Son, Jesus, and he wants to share it with you. That's Trinitarian experience. The Father, before all time, gazed at the glory of his Son and said, I'm going to share this. I'm going to share. I don't need to. I want the joy to grow. And so he made a planet. And he put people on it. In fact, God was so into Jesus, he made people in his image. Look around you. We're all made in the image. And then he invites you to become a Christian. And he draws you in and he says, through the Spirit, look at that. And you look at it. And you do. You think Jesus is great. But for the rest of your life, that Spirit is working in you. And you keep seeing more and more how delightful Jesus is. That is authentic Christian experience. It's Trinitarian. We're trying to buy a building. Do you know why we're trying to buy a building? Because we want more and more people to see in Jesus what the Father sees in Jesus. Our vision has got that line, delighting in him for all eternity. We want a building where we can keep proclaiming through the written words of the apostles the gospel of Jesus Christ that will display the Trinity so that people will delight in Jesus forever. We want to tell people of Perth, you ain't seen nothing yet until you see Jesus the way the Father sees him. And they'll delight in him for all eternity. How are we going to do this? Tells you, keep preaching the written words of the apostles, the gospel of Jesus Christ.